last several weeks, I've had a number of conversations that have really teased out a specific dynamic in life for me, but I would also be willing to guess for you as well. And if I could articulate that for us this morning, it would be this: expectations. Life is full of expectations. Would you agree with that statement? We see them all over the place. For example, doing something as mundane as garden work, right? We just finally planted our garden. We put the seeds in the ground. We water. We tend the soil. And our expectation is what? We will be eating something from our garden in a little while if it doesn't get roasted, toasted, and burnt to a crisp. Helping my brother and his fiance back in Nebraska get ready for their wedding in September, talking about what's expected, what's maybe inbounds, what's out of bounds. How can we best get ready for this new chapter of life known as marriage? One of the great tools that I've found over the years, and one of the tools I use in my premarital counseling is, believe it or not, What Did You Expect? A book by author Paul David Tripp, where he talks about just that. Expectations that are brought into marriage with us. The expectations brought in by the soon-to-be husband and soon-to-be wife. Expectations all over the place. I'd be willing to bet that you have some expectations that are maybe floating around in your realm of life as well. Would that be a true statement as of late? How about this? Expectations at work. How many of you have had expectations at work? Yeah? None of you? Okay. All right, maybe a couple. All right. Yeah. Expectations, deadlines, what you have to do, who you have to work with, when it's done, what does it need to look like, the details that make it tick, right? Expectations at work, we know about that. How about this? For those of you who just did your exodus from school, how many of you have expectations at school? How many of you have encountered expectations of you at school, right? If I'd have to guess, I'd say your teachers probably expect some things from you, like daily attendance in class, right? Are you expected to show up to class? Yeah? Seminarian, yeah. Are you expected to go to class? Yeah, of course, yeah. Homework, how many of you have wrestled with homework? Expectations, you have to turn something in. And do you have to turn it in by a certain time? Expectations. But on the flip side, can you expect your teacher or your teachers to help you with those things? Absolutely. Can you expect your parents, your family members to be a system of support for you while you tackle those homework projects and assignments? I would sure hope so. How about this? Expectations in our neighborhood. How many of you have an HOA or some kind of neighborhood entity that establishes guidelines and expectations for your humble abode? Yeah? Yeah, here in Fort Wayne, we have found them to be much, much more loose than they were back in Richmond, Virginia. For example, back in Richmond, Virginia, some of the HOAs had expectations that you could only put certain things out in your yard. Certain flags were just not allowed to be flown. Sorry for all you sports fans and aficionados. You weren't allowed to highlight who you support. Or painting your front door. And maybe some of you are wrestling with this too. There are certain colors that you can paint your front door and others you cannot. Anybody run into that? Yeah. What your house can look like, what it can't look like, what you're expected to use for landscaping, yard work, and so forth. Expectations, right? They're everywhere. How about this? Expectations in relationships. In the strength of your relationship with somebody, is there an expectation that you have of that person? Is there an expectation that's placed on you by that other person? For example, how many of you have a honey-do list or honey-to-do list? Yeah? How many of you are thinking about what you have to do when you get home today? For me, it's tackling a fridge that likes to dump water on the top shelf for some odd reason. I don't know why. But I tackled it yesterday, and guess what I'm going to have to do today again? I'm back at it. Yeah, if you don't see me next Sunday, come drive down that way and look for signs of help. Yeah, honey-do list, expectations of us by our spouse. How about this? Expectations with our kids. Or our kids' expectations of us. For example, the expectation that mom and dad will be there, right? In good times, but also in hard times. When things are confusing or don't make sense, we expect that we can go to mom and dad. When we have something that's really chewing at us and really bothering us, perhaps our expectation is that we can go to mom and dad and they'll join us in a word of prayer and they'll pray over us beyond that moment. Or our expectations for kids. I know we're not quite there yet with four-month-old Evan, but maybe your expectation is that your son or daughter will help you with things around the house. How many of you have that expectation? I know we hate to use that word. I'm going to say it. You forgive me, all right? Chores, right? It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I know about that. Growing up on a family farm in Nebraska with livestock, boy, do I know about chores. We have expectations in relationships, don't we? How about this one? Social network expectations. How many of you have plans for the 4th of July? How many of you are going to get together with friends, family? How many of you are going to light fireworks? How many of you are going to roast something tasty on the grill? Expectations, right? Expectations in our social circles, in our networks, about what we're going to do, or maybe not what we're going to do, how we're going to spend our time, what we're going to spend, and so on. Expectations. Expectations are all over the place, aren't they? In our gospel lesson today, we hear this teased out in a number of ways by our gospel writer by the name of Luke. And in a number of different capacities, in a number of different ways, would-be followers of Jesus Christ are expected to answer this question. And this question is for you and for me today. Are we on the same page with Jesus or not? Jesus sets out for us expectations of us as Christ followers, men, women, and children of God. But it happens every so often that maybe, just maybe, our expectations of what it looks like to be a Christ follower, they don't line up with what Jesus shares with you and me from his word. If I can just pause for a moment. How would you answer these two questions on the screens up front? For example, if you were approached today by someone that didn't know anything about Jesus, or maybe when you go back to work this week, or back to your social crew, social network, and you were asked these questions, what would you say? For example, what does Jesus expect of you as a disciple? So people know that you worship, people know that you're connected to Jesus by grace through faith. So someone comes up to you and says, by the way, what does Jesus Christ expect of you as his disciple? What would you say to that? Or how about the next question? As a Christ follower, what do you expect of Jesus? So the same person comes up to you and says, okay, so you share with me what Jesus expects of you, but what do you expect of him? How would you answer that? God's word gives us a beautiful glimpse of the answers to these questions, and I'd like to invite you this morning to follow along once again in Luke chapter 9 as this is teased out for you and for me, because there are expectations all over the place. Luke kicks things off with these two brothers. In the Gospel of Mark, calls James and John these sons of thunder. And I think in our gospel lesson this morning, we heard why. Because Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's sending his disciples ahead of him to get things ready. And they come back, and they're like, Jesus, you wouldn't believe it. They don't want you to pass through. So would you like us to call down fire and just roast them? James and John are ready to have a Samaritan barbecue right then and there. Happy 4th of July. But it's interesting, and we don't hear all of what Jesus shares with them, but we get this moment where we see that James and John are not on the same page as Jesus. Their expectations of what Jesus wants are not the same expectations that Jesus has for those who would follow after him. This is only the appetizer for what follows next, because in this next area of Scripture, we see three situations that in some ways and over the years, having spoken with other Christ followers, these are hard to process through because Jesus' words seem really harsh here and they don't leave much wiggle room. They seem really black and white. But here's what we see. We see a lot of would-be disciples coming up to Jesus with their own expectations in their back pocket of what is acceptable for a Christ follower and what is not acceptable. What's in bounds, but also what's out of bounds. But here's what Jesus does. Here's what Jesus does for them, and here's what Jesus does for you and for me. He challenges our definition of discipleship so that at the end of the day, we walk away with the accurate definition of what it means to live for Jesus Christ before a world that doesn't know him. Here's the first situation, and here's the big question that Jesus teases out for this first individual and for you and for me today. Here's the question. Are you willing to give up everything to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to give up everything to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Luke shares with us the situation. Chapter 9, verse 58 and follows. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." As a follower of Jesus Christ, there's no room for idols of comfort. Jesus' expectation is that when we put our foot on the line, we are willing to let go of everything if it means faithfully following him. So once again, here's the question, and here's the expectation teased up for us today. Are you willing to give up everything? Or will you follow Jesus Christ so long as you have, and then fill in that blank for you? In other words, is there a place in your life as a Christ follower where you've begun to maybe unintentionally put conditions on your life as a follower of Jesus Christ? "Jesus, I'll follow you just so long as it's air conditioned, I'm comfortable, I have clean water, I have a good bank account, I got some nice threads and I got some nice wheels to get me around. Jesus, I'll follow you if that's how it's going to look." Or how about this? "Jesus, I'll follow you as long as I get to determine what I do as a follower." See, here's Jesus' expectation. Are you willing to give up everything for Jesus Christ? Or is there something standing in the way? What anchors you in place to the point where you can't follow Christ as much as he'd like you to? Situation number two. Are you willing to prioritize for the kingdom of God first? Sometimes in life, we find that there are conflicting worlds, conflicting priorities, and kingdoms up for grabs. And this is what Luke shares with us about this expectation and situation. Verse 59, Jesus said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, to be honest, at a quick read, this looks pretty harsh, doesn't it? It sounds like the guy's dad has just buried, and now Jesus is just like, "Cut the funeral, go, and come and follow me." But diving into this a little bit more and studying it and unpacking the cultural nuances a little bit more, this man is essentially asking for permission to hit the pause button on discipleship. So down the road, when his dad passes away, then at that point, he'll follow Jesus. And in a big way, this is what this man is telling Jesus. "Jesus, there are things in my own life, in my own world, in my own kingdom that I want to prioritize for first. So I'm a Jesus fan. I'll wear the Jesus pin, the Jesus, t-shirt. I'll put the little Jesus fish on my cart or on my horse or mule. But first, Jesus, I got some things to tend to in my own life and in my own kingdom. I'm going to do that first, and then I'll follow you." So here's the question and expectation of you and me today, and of all those who would follow after Jesus. Are you willing to put his kingdom first? Are you willing to put your energies towards what pleases him first, and then you second? Are you willing to give of your time, talents, and treasures for the things that see the gospel advance, as opposed to maybe your kingdom or your plot growing? Are you willing to prioritize for the kingdom of God first, or will you remain wrapped up in your own? Jesus' difficult question for you and for me today as followers of his is just this: are you willing to seek my kingdom first? If not, what's getting in the way for you? Third situation that Luke shares with us in this traveling passage, in this expectation, is just this: are you willing to focus forward in faith? This is the situation. Verse 61. Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Well, that is so true. How many of you have taken driving lessons and been encouraged time and time again, hands on the wheel, eyes forward? You ever had someone encourage you with that? Yeah? Yeah? growing up on a family farm and doing things with tractors and wagons and various agricultural equipment, I can attest to this. If you don't focus forward and if you're looking backward, your rows are going to be like this, and your neighbors are going to be like, boy, there was something wrong with that guy when he planted his field, right? Kids, stay away from that guy. When you see him coming down the road, go that way, right? Sometimes in our lives as Christ followers, we make decisions that results in the path looking like this for those who are watching. People see a group of people, and they hear a group of people say they love Jesus and they will follow him wherever he goes. But when they look at the pattern of life for a church, for a group of people, for an individual, sometimes they see those wavy lines, don't they? The expectation for you and for me as a Christ follower is this: don't look back. The past calls out to you and to me all the time. The past invites us to perceive something as perfect when in the past it was riddled with challenges and struggles, just like today and just like tomorrow. And the challenge for us, the expectation as Christ followers, is just this: to focus forward in faith. But here's the challenge. We like to look back, don't we? Jesus' expectation for us today is this: are you willing to sacrifice? Is there something in your life that is causing you to look over your shoulder? If it is, you have to let it go. God is not calling you to hit rewind. God is not calling you to travel back in time and to resurrect something from the past. God is calling you to focus forward in faith and to trust that where you need to go, he will provide the directions. The question is, will you follow? It is really easy, like with our sermon song a moment ago, what was our refrain? I will follow you, right? It is really easy to sing that. It's really easy to hide back in our chair and be surrounded by a lot of people. Boy, when push comes to shove, here's the question: will you do that? Will you focus forward in faith, or will Jesus Christ find you looking over your shoulder, trying to resurrect something that will not come back, or maybe isn't supposed to come back? In this passage, Jesus speaks to the heart of discipleship, the kind of discipleship Jesus expects of us today, the kind of discipleship that transforms the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the question is, will God's people follow or not? This week, in preparation for this message, there were several questions that came out almost like a fastball right to the forehead, right between the eyes. And I wonder if you heard these questions as well as we spent time together hearing God's gospel for us and God's word for us about following Jesus Christ. For example, one of the questions was this: how often do we attempt to live according to the world's standards? Over the years and across the country, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, I find this to be true. So oftentimes, a church will take worldly practice and bring it into the church. People will take what works really well out there with a business model and they'll try to bring it in and kind of squeeze the church into that mold. And to that, God says no. God says, I have a template for you ready. God says, I have a blueprint and a design, and it's in my word. Hold to that. But sometimes, so oftentimes, what we end up doing is just this. We pull out what makes sense in the world, and what do? We bring it in the midst of God's people, and God says, no. And sometimes God's people walk away because the world looks a lot better. Second question is this: where have you seen the world's influence in the church today? If you're like me, you've opened up the newspaper, you've opened up the internet, social media, and you've seen a lot of things put out there by well-meaning Christians that kind of makes you take a step back and go, oh, I think I just got some spiritual heartburn. Have you had that experience as of late? well-meaning Christians putting things out there, or maybe living a life that is completely contradictory to what God spells out for us as disciples in his word. And sometimes when that happens, we bring that into the church, and we use that during process. We use that during prayer time. We use that during day-to-day activities. And in the process, the world doesn't get to see Jesus. They don't get to hear God's word. But you know what they do get? They get more of what they already see out in the world. And so in a sense, the church loses its opportunity to be effective in the name of Jesus. So my question to you is this: where have you seen worldly influence creep its way into the church today? The expectation of Christ followers is this: that we would leave the world with the world, and we would go after the one who changes the world with his life, with his death and resurrection. His name's Jesus. The other question that comes out to you and to me loud and clear from this is this, and this is a hard one. This is a hard one for me, and maybe it is for you. But how often do we define discipleship on our terms? Maybe we don't resonate with the examples that Luke shares with us, but maybe, just maybe, we've been carrying around in our own back pocket an expectation list of what discipleship should look like. And when we come to worship or when we open up the word, we find that that expectation list that we've had doesn't line up with what Jesus has. So here's what we try to do. Jesus, I have an eraser. This part's really hard. I'm just going to go ahead and correct that for a little bit, and then that'll be okay, right? Sometimes we choose discipleship on our terms. And in the process, we come to find we have not been living as disciples of Jesus Christ. Where is that for you? Jesus, I'd like to do this. And then Jesus says, that's not in play for a Christ follower. Okay, Jesus, but I'd like to do this. This is good, right? And Jesus says, no. And Jesus says, I want you to come over here. But our response, well, Jesus, I'd like to do this first. This is really important. It's going to help me a lot. And Jesus says, well, is that about your kingdom or is it about mine? How oftentimes do we fall into this quicksand of trying to define discipleship on our terms? My question for you and for me in this is just this. Where do we need to lay down some expectations that we've had in order to faithfully hear God's expectations for us and for his church? And the last question that comes out to us this morning is just this. In your day-to-day decisions, in your day-to-day activities, in your day-to-day behaviors, who do you check yourself against? A group of people that tell you what you want to hear? Or do you check yourself against God's word? Do you go with a popular vote? Or do you walk along the narrow road that Jesus Christ walks before you? God's word, we see in a number of places, especially in the book of Acts, as the early church is rising and growing on the heels of Jesus' death and resurrection, we find just this, that men, women, and children, Christ followers, like Paul, Silas, Barnabas, they're oftentimes received or they're told to take a hike, and here's why. Because the gospel they preach is not the gospel people truly want. The gospel they want is a gospel they can manufacture and form and decide upon themselves. And it's not the gospel given to them by Jesus Christ. So my question to you and my question to me, myself this morning, is just this. Have we had discipleship on our terms? Or has it been on Jesus Christ's terms? And how do you know? What's your metric? If it's not God's word, then you have to let it go. In our second reading today, Paul, this Christ follower, teases this out for us. And we heard part of this last week in chapter 5, where he talks about this freedom that God has given us through his amazing grace. And he talks about this freedom that allows us to live freed as Christ followers, not connected to same old, or the past, or baggage, but to live a new life. And then he comes to this point. And I'd like to invite you to listen in for the expectations that his audience has been living with. And I'd like to invite you to listen in if you've maybe been operating with these same expectations for you as a Christ follower or for his church. Paul says this, verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, and factions. See, somewhere along the way, God's people get self-convinced that this is acceptable behavior for the church, and God says no. Somewhere along the way, it seems to be acceptable to do things like triangulate and gossip and slander and backbite and have a camp over here and a camp over here and a camp over here. But God says, no, stop it. Somewhere along the way, we convince ourselves that if we can operate out there in the world and get away with it, then we can bring that into God's church. And God says, no. God says, I have a bigger plan for your life, and it doesn't include worldly process. It includes my gospel. But hear what God says through Paul on the heels of this passage about what's expected of you and me as Christ followers, as well as what's expected in terms of what not to do. Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Once again, whose kingdom are you living for? The kingdom of Jesus Christ or yours? Friends, we talked a lot about expectations of you and me as Christ followers. But what can we expect of Jesus? Have you been wrestling with that question? That was one of the two questions we started off with when we first started our message today. What's expected of us as Christ followers, but what can we expect of Jesus? How would you answer that question? We talked a lot about expectations of us as Christ followers, but what do you expect of Jesus? Jesus has thrown down the gauntlet. He's thrown down a big, hard, squirm-free list of what's inbounds for us as Christ followers. But how would you answer that question? How do you answer that question for yourself when you're going through a hard season of life? How do you answer that question when your health isn't what you'd like it to be? How do you answer that question when you find a stack of bills that come in the mail, but you don't have the means to pay them? How do you answer that question when it feels like all of your friends have turned their back on you? How do you answer that question when you find yourself on the receiving end of things that just make your gut twist? How do you answer that question when you find yourself in a situation where you've been so quick to forgive, but that same forgiveness has not been offered to you, at least not without conditions? What can we expect of Jesus? The answer, friends, is just this. You can expect a Savior that commits to you, commits his life to you. A Savior that is willing to go to a cross and pay for sins that weren't his. We can expect someone who stands with us through good seasons and bad. We can expect someone who's going to be there for us and give us things like unconditional love and forgiveness without conditions. We can expect someone who sets before us a model of discipleship that is the model we need to follow. We can expect someone to be there for us when it counts. Like today, in a moment when we celebrate Holy Communion. And Jesus Christ, in a big way, says to you and to me, come to my table. Come as you are, but don't leave as you were. Receive my forgiveness, receive my grace, receive my strength, and go out and live my definition of discipleship. Jesus Christ is calling out to you and me today to live as disciples according to his expectations. The question is, are you willing to follow? Let's pray.